Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. So I had a couple of therapists over the years. Before I got into solid recovery, I worked with a few people, and big surprise, wasn't super into the process initially, right? My wife and I, we ended up shopping around when we were going through recovery, and we eventually landed with the therapist. I'm good friends with him now. But he was a great guy, but he and I have talked afterwards because we are kind of buddies. You know, and we're colleagues. He earned his money when it came to to seeing me. I was a highly resistant client. I mean, I haven't found the exact figure, but I share often that, you know, my wife and I, we spent upwards of, not probably hitting, but upwards of $20,000 on therapy.
Wow.
It was a lot. And the reality is, if I'm being really honest, it could have easily been 10. Like maybe even less.
Oh, you had nothing to do with that, did you?
Oh, I did. I had so much to do with it. I mean, we joke now about how some weeks he would just downright dread seeing me. Not because he didn't like me, but because when I showed up not ready to work, I was very much that guy because I was a therapist at the time. So I'd just come in week after week and just say, I know all your Jedi mind tricks. Try and convince me of something different,
you know? Right.
And I thought it would be really good, as we were talking this morning, it would be great to do a podcast along these lines, because so often as therapists now on the other side of the coin, I so get where he's coming from. Yeah. He really did earn his fee with me in blood. And it ended up being a more difficult experience for him, but more importantly, it ended up being a much more difficult experience for my wife and I than it ever should have been, you know?
Well, yeah, as we talked this morning, as we were getting ready to record, we thought, wouldn't it be awesome to give all of our listeners a look through the therapy window? Yep. Right? What do we do on a daily basis from the standpoint of, we have some clients that just soar. They make progress. They just do amazingly well and succeed. And that doesn't mean it isn't hard. It's really hard.
Absolutely.
Don't confuse that success I'm saying right now with the fact that it's just smooth and effortless. It isn't. The clients that do really well, my clients that really make progress, I would have to say in some ways it's kind of hellish. Mm-hmm. Just what they have to go through to get there.
Yeah.
I want to give you a view into what does it take to really succeed, to progress and to achieve what you desire in your hearts with regard to recovery and healing. What do you do to get there, to have that experience? And how do people fall off? Where do they fall down? Where does it go wrong? We're going to give you a view into that window today.
Absolutely. You know, I think the first step of getting, you know, if we talk about the most important part of therapy and making it good on the client side of things, is you've got to go into the process open to new paradigms, right? Mm-hmm. Open to new ideas. And that doesn't mean that the therapist is, he is an expert, or he or she is an expert, they should be, but it doesn't mean that they are the expert, you know, that no therapist is perfect. But they are a third party who, if you're seeing a good one, has good clinical training, maybe some experience, specializing in this ideally, right? It's somebody that you can, it needs to be somebody that you trust. We talk about that often on the podcast. You know, you got to find somebody you trust, mm-hmm. and that you like. Oftentimes though, I will have clients where they come in and they will tell me they trust me, but then too often they will kind of manifest more weeks than not, at least at the beginning, right? As kind of like I did at the beginning of therapy, right? You have to, if you want to make therapy really beneficial, you have to recognize that your thinking is going to be challenged, right? A good therapist is not going to stroke egos. A good therapist is going to practice real love with you, like we talk about on here on. Often, right? They're a good therapist is going to be somebody who's willing to be the heavy in a certain situation, be the unpopular guy in the room. And you need to really get in the habit as quickly as you can of being able to leave your ego and your pride at the door as much as possible, right? Because your thinking is going to be pushed on and challenged, and that's just going to be a part of it.
Yeah. And something I heard years ago, and I know you did too, said sometime along the past, someone confronted us and said, "Hey, Mark, Steve, remember, your very best thinking got you here." Right?
Yes.
And absolutely. So just realizing that, you know, I have some clients who they want therapy, but they want it their way. Yeah. They come in with really strong expectations. And when I don't adhere to that, they can get impatient or upset or frustrated.
Sure.
And I have to remind them, look, I understand where you're coming from with that, because boy, was I there. But I'm just inviting you to try to just set that all aside, put it on hold, and just trust and engage in the process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you don't know yet, right? You only know what you know today.
Absolutely. Right?
Remember, that brain of yours is a closed system. It's just a collective database of everything you've experienced. But there's a lot of knowledge outside of that.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, that's a big part of it. And the other, you know, the other thing that you and I find, and this was really hard for me, expect consistent critique.
Yep. And absolutely.
Whoa, was that a hard one for me? Because I learned as a kid to defend myself against criticism, because I had a lot of it, and a lot of it was not constructive and it wasn't positive. So my brain, you know, developed this survival defensive mechanism that if anyone starts critiquing or criticizing me, I'm shutting down.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to go into therapy and suddenly open yourself to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Your therapist being on your side is not going to, you know, we've talked about it more than once on this podcast about how, you know, good connections sometimes, in fact, in most cases, doesn't usually require or even involve agreement.
Right.
And that applies in the therapy relationship just as much as anything else. I have had more than one client who I've had to kind of pull aside, and we'll go through and just kind of a quick check-in, because I can tell that when he's coming to sessions, he or she is coming to sessions, there's almost a preconceived kind of shame that starts to develop.
Yes.
Because they're going to expect that critique that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And we totally validate that. Mark and I are no strangers to ourselves going through that personally, where we both have big histories of trauma-based shame, right? People attacking us, people coming out of the woodwork and, you know, bashing us for this or that, not accepting us, whatever. If a good therapist is doing their job right, it's not that they're critiquing you as a person. They're critiquing outside behaviors and thinking patterns that are getting in the way of the authentic you.
Exactly.
Right? They're challenging that stuff.
I came at therapy sessions, you almost come tensed up, right? You're waiting for the big criticism shoe to drop on your head, and you come into the session that way. Oh, God, what's he going to bring up today?
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, going into therapy, putting like the putting the rolled up newspaper or the pads down in your pants in the rear end, so
exactly.
the blows aren't so bad.
The blows aren't so bad. And the thing to remember, I mean, Steve and I can tell you, you know, we love our clients. I mean, we come at each session with this just deep yearning to help, right? How do I help this person see what they can't see or haven't been able to? And it's just this deep yearning to help, you know, bring this perspective in so that there can then be progress.
Yeah.
We don't like to criticize. It's not just for the sake of criticizing. In fact, early on and as a therapist, I thought I needed to be really good friends with my clients.
Mm, yeah.
And man, was that a disaster. Because we're not there to be, you know, it's not friendship. And you can, even some of my codependencies early on in my therapy experience were triggered a bit. Well, what are they going to think if I actually say this right now?
Yeah.
Can I be that bold and direct? You know, what if they're offended?
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked hard, Steve and I, to move through our own issues so that we can truly be effective therapists in being able to say and point out and bring up anything and everything
yeah.
that is needed to help our clients progress. But they also need to be open to that themselves, right? Otherwise, it just ties our hands. I tell clients, if you're going to come at it with shame and you're going to shut down, you really need to realize you're tying my hands behind my back in order to help you as a therapist.
Well, and that's another point too, because I see this often where one or both people say in a couple session, right? One or both of my clients I can tell that they're becoming overwhelmed. They're starting to dissociate, mm-hmm. right? Or they're giving into shame and they're shutting down.
Yeah.
Right. What doesn't derail the process, I think, for a good therapist isn't the fact that you start to shut down. It's that it's when clients start to shut down and then they won't talk about why.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because if that's coming up in therapy in a couple session or even individually, I guarantee it's happening between the two of you off screen, right?
Yes.
Or out of the office. I guarantee that it's happening. And there's no better place to work through that than here, right? That limbic system, when it gets triggered, right? We all have that fight, flight, freeze response we talk about often on here. And we know better than most that when we get in that place, it's really easy to look at everyone around you, not as potential supports or people that love or care about you, right? What do? We start looking at people as like potential threats.
Yeah, it turns adversarial, right? I got to protect myself.
Exactly. Your therapist is not there to shame you or to drag you into the mud. They're here to guide you. And when that stuff comes up, I would plead with any of my clients who listen to this to, you know, when you feel that coming on, that's to be expected, but trust us enough, right, to stay with the process. And if we keep asking questions and if we ask about the shame, what you're feeling, please, please trust us enough to open up to that. It will help not just the relationship, but you will learn more in sessions like that. 'Cause I had a few of those where you're able to work through those things about reprocessing and neurobiological change, doing that, then far more than you would in a quote unquote, you know, happy session.
Exactly. No. Yeah. Those are some of the best sessions of all, when they get really tough and hard and people shut down, but then you get them to talk about why they're shutting down. What are you feeling right now?
Yeah.
I'm seeing this, but what is this about for you? And realize that when you're critiqued in one area, it doesn't mean that you're being critiqued in all areas, right?
Yes.
I remember my feeling, oh, he's pointing out this thing about me. See, I knew it. Every part of me sucks.
Yeah.
Because he brought this thing up. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm a loser. I knew it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? It doesn't mean that.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I had a client recently, a new one who asked me, so what method are you using with me?
Right? Method of therapy?
Yeah. What method of therapy are you using? Right. And I could tell he's had some therapy in the past and wanted to kind of catalog me with, you know, is this cognitive behavioral therapy? Is this a dialectic, you know, is this commitment? And, you know, all of these different things he was asking. Realize that a good, really good therapist, therapy is an art form more than it is a science. Of course, there's tested and proven, you know, researched methods that are involved. But it's more being in the moment with the client and really discerning what is needed most. You know, Steve and I, we call upon decades of experience and bring that to bear with a client. And I don't know what it's going to be exactly a lot of times. I have an idea, but often I'll see that something is needed that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily use with the next session. So you need to be open and be patient about that. And also realize that, you know, timelines are good. People often ask me, so how long is this going to take? When am I going to be cured? When am I going to be healed?
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly. I mean, we give some benchmarks, but it takes a flexibility because we don't know till we're in it. I like to say it takes what it takes.
Yeah.
And so that's another factor.
Yeah, it is a huge piece of the pie. And you know, Rich, I would say just in general, it's something you want to be on the guard for when you go to therapy. And again, this is a you got it, you spot it kind of thing, because I'm an expert at being this. So I speak from not a place of condemning. Rigid thinking in the therapy process will sabotage and disrupt it every time.
Oh, so true.
I go into every single session with at least a vague game plan, if not something pretty detailed to work on. But I also go into every therapy session recognizing that at least 50% of the time, because of things that have happened that week, issues that have come up, we're going to throw the whole plan out and do something completely different.
Good.
And that's kind of how it rolls. And so the more flexible you can be with that, and the more you can come with things to therapy, right, to discuss and issues to address is hugely important, but retaining some of that openness is critical as well. And, you know, that kind of takes us to the next point, right? This whole discomfort doesn't always mean bad therapy.
That's such a great point. You know, I would have to say, and this might sound weird, but some of the best sessions I've ever been with in people, with couples especially, is when suddenly they just erupt and start screaming and swearing at each other. And it is literally World War III.
Yep.
And I'm just watching patiently. I'm sitting quietly while they just go at it. Mm-hmm. And here's the part that surprises them. When they're all done and they sort of realize that, oh yeah, Mark's here.
Yeah.
they turn back and look at me. I will sometimes put both of my fists in the air like a big fist pump. And I'll say, yes, that is awesome. Now we're getting somewhere. Kind of looking at me, what? And I'll just be, you dude, that was so great. You did so good. And they really don't know how to take that. But it's like, man, we're finally getting raw and real and authentic. And this is your truth in this moment.
Yeah.
Now you've given me something to work with.
Yes.
I love that.
Well, and I think that, you know, what we're really talking about here is differentiating, right? Separating this relationship that we oftentimes have as people, just in general. We oftentimes link, you know, discomfort with being a negative experience.
Yes, right? Automatically.
And likewise, peaceful or happy things, right, as being positive. And those don't always line up. And that is especially the case in therapy. You know, it's not... If the therapy you're doing right now, wherever you're at, if it's like Disneyland, I would respectfully say you may want to consider doing something else because it's probably not going the way it should be.
Yeah.
Therapy should be hard. It should be a difficult process. If your thinking isn't getting challenged and you're not getting pushed, if you're not getting uncomfortable, then where is the change happening or is it happening as quick as it could be?
Right.
So in other words, what we're really saying there is, as I often say is, you know, plan for some pain today. Like just go into it, recognizing this is going to be painful in some ways.
Right. It's like plan for pain.
I know that sounds like totally, totally aboding.
But it's so true. Yeah. The really awesome work is often where it's just excruciating and things that you've kept hidden deep and buried for years or decades, they come out and we start to peel back the layers and some of it, you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
It's in some ways not pleasant, but man, is it worth it to start finally making progress.
Yes.
And then the other thing you and I talked about, and this is, I know this is something that we get a little frustrated with sometimes with clients, right? It's come to therapy prepared with questions and with issues rather than, you know, just showing up and going, oh, so fix me today, Mark. What do you got?
What
do you got for me?
That's never a problem.
It's never a problem.
No, it's so true. You know, I look back on my career, and it's not that this isn't going to happen some of the time, right? Again, therapists aren't perfect. Clients aren't perfect. That's why we're all there. We're all working and growing and perfecting everything that we're doing. But there is far too much time that is spent with too many therapy sessions. I talk to colleagues often about this, where too much of a session is spent what I call digging, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're trying to kind of root out issues to be addressed because clients aren't prepared. They haven't taken a few minutes or the check in the evening before, right? And said, hey, therapy's tomorrow. We know how quick that 60 minutes goes, because it does go fast. Mark and I don't do the usual like 50 minute therapy session and call it an hour. We do full 60 minutes. And it's always shocking, even when we do that extension for clients, how often we'll just spend too much of that time, right? The first 20, 30, 40 minutes digging on issues. Whereas when clients come prepared with issues, we can immediately jump into what needs to be worked on, right? It's such a more effective use of the time. And you as a client, I promise, are going to feel like you're getting more out of the therapy. But it does, what it really means is that it's that shift in mentality and recognizing that your therapist is a partner in your marriage, right? When you bring a good therapist on board, they're a partner to come in and to help and to support, but a therapist cannot fix a marriage. That may be hard for some people to hear.
No, we can't.
But we can't fix a therapist. We can't fix a marriage, right? We can't fix an individual. We are there to support, to help you, to grow, to give you advice, to give you counsel, to do all those things. But that work on some level if it's going to work, it has to come on the end of on the client's end.
Yeah, because I often say that, you know, weekly therapy sessions are good.
Yeah.
But if you ask me where does the real change happen, it's what happens between those therapy sessions.
Absolutely.
It's down in the trenches. It's the daily work that you're doing, right? Your progress is highly dependent on the work that you do outside of the therapy.
Yeah.
And coming prepared to a therapy session is all about, what did you do during the week? Did you follow through with the assignment that you were given? Mm-hmm. Right. When you don't follow through and you don't find a way to get that work done, it sabotages your progress and it sabotages me as a therapist.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to keep giving assignments. If you're not doing them, then we're just having talk therapy every week. Talk. Right. My wife's favorite statement to me is, Mark, talk is cheap. Show me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's like it is with this. You know, these assignments we give, what we want you to do, you know, Steve, I know you're like this as well. I want to talk about it, but then I want to send you back out into the trenches of real life.
Yep.
And I want you to try it. I want you to experiment. I want you to fall on your face. I want you to have triumphs.
Yes.
I want you to go have this experiential stuff and then come back to me next week and we can talk about, how did it go? How was the grand experiment of life and your relationship and all this stuff we've talked about? What'd you do? Now we've got something to work with that's real.
Yes.
But if that's not happening, then okay, let's talk again.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and there is a little bit, you know, Mark and I, you know, in our offices, we work, and you hear this on the podcast as well, we've just got, I don't even know if you could put a number to it, many, many tools, skill sets, and things that we work on with people every week.
Yeah.
But therapy, again, is not an exact science. And there is a trial and error component to therapy. If we, you know, it's unfortunate when I find myself as a therapist giving the same assignment like four times in a row. And I know clients feel frustrated because I sound like a broken record, and I will oftentimes tell them that, you know, I hate to sound like a broken record, but, you know, if we don't try X, Y, and Z, we won't know what parts of that are working for you or resonating, which means that we can't figure out why they are resonating or not, which means we can't direct you to something better.
Yeah.
Right. It really holds the process back.
Yeah. You know, clients will report in how it went, and I'll say, okay, let's go and try this. And then it's like you send them out and they try it. And then we come back and we reassess and we regroup and we look at it. It's this wonderful fluid process.
Yeah.
You can't just do it in a textbook, robotic, check the boxes kind of thing. That's not real life.
Yes.
And good therapy's got to be based on real life. And the only way to know that is you've come back and tell me what you tried in real life. And then we can look at it, right?
Yeah.
If you give a sub effort on your end, you're gonna need to expect a sub result with regard to therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? We say it works if you work it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true.
Yep. It absolutely is. You know, sometimes I think as therapists, we feel a little bit like that scene from Jerry Maguire, you know, where, yeah. where it's in a restroom. I can't remember the context. I haven't seen the movie in years and years. And can't remember if it's safe to watch. So all of you out there, that's the caveat. I don't know if that's safe to watch or not.
Yeah, we don't know.
But we don't know. But I do remember that part. There's this scene where Tom Cruise is looking at his client. And he's looking at him, he's on his knees in this restroom, looking at him saying, "Help me help you." And then he gets in his face and there's like sweat pouring down his face. He's like, "Help me help you." And I think we just so want to do that with clients. Like, this is our passion. This is what we love to do. We want this process to be a beneficial one for you, enjoyable where possible, but mostly to be a beneficial one. We want to get you to a better place. We're here for you. We're here to help. If I could have gone, I would. This is to me like one of, I think, the most valuable podcasts we've done, because I mean, literally, this would have saved me 10 grand if I'd that's not even facetious.
We're going to call this the $10,000 podcast.
Yeah, I'd have a nice used car out in front of my house right now if I hadn't had to spend it on that.
Someone had told you about these particular points. Yeah,
that's right. We care about you guys. We love you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for being here. Thanks for working on these difficult issues. And we'll talk to you soon, either in our therapy office or in our next podcast.
Yep. See you next week.
Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.